Place tonight in the book of Habakkuk. That'll be about four or five pages back from Matthew in the Old Testament. I'm not trying to tell you how to get in your Bible. You probably already know it, but these little books sometimes are hard to find. 4 or 5 pages back from Malachi, you'll find a little book of a man of God by the name of Habakkuk. I told the pastor earlier, I said, if it works, we'll be here a little while. If it don't, we'll be gone shortly. Amen. So I've never preached out of this chapter. Been preaching about 50 years. I've never preached the thought I've got tonight out of a Habakkuk. So you bear with me, and the Lord will help me. I told my wife today, and I hadn't been out of the room, been praying and studying, trying to find the mind of the Lord. And I said, well, this preach something else, trying to get settled. And I learned a long time ago, you better obey the Lord and go ahead and do what He told you to do to start with. And so we're trying to obey the Lord tonight by His help. And so you pray for me. I don't think I'll be long. And my wife said, quit saying that. I told her, like Elizabeth Taylor told her eighth husband, I'm not going to keep you long. And I've kept her 57 years, amen. But anyway, I don't know whether we'll be long or short tonight, but I will try to obey the Lord, and I believe that's what you want. I know that's what the preacher wants, and I know that's what the Lord wants. He said, whatsoever He tells you to do, do it in John 2:5. And we want to do that tonight. So very quickly, in Habakkuk chapter number 2 and verse number 1, I will stand upon my watch and sit upon the tower and will watch to see what He will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, the soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Let's read it again. 4 short verses. I'm going to do a little bit of exposition in there, and we'll be through tonight. Chapter 2, verse 1, Habakkuk is getting a message from God. And he said, I will stand upon my watch, and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me. I hope you come to church like that tonight. Preaching of this book is God speaking to us. This is God's Word. We have it inspired. Jesus came and in the body of flesh. That was the incarnate Word. But we have the inspired Word in this Bible. And it's as authoritative as if Jesus was here preaching in person. Not because of me or your pastor, but because it's God's Word. And He gave it, and great was the company of those that published it. And so it's very important that we listen to the Bible. And the devil's taking it out of a lot of pulpits tonight, and it's not being preached. And they're doing everything but preaching what thus saith the Lord. But I'm going to try to preach the Bible tonight. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what He, God, will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And we know the Bible said, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch, what Paul told Timothy, watch thou in all things, do the work of an evangelist. That keeps a lot of men out of evangelism. Amen. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight, finished my course, kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. Do thy diligence, Timothy, to come unto me, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. We're about to get down to that day today. Amen. Take Mark. Mark had gotten backslidden and away from God because I think the work, and he went home, if you'll read your Bible, and he got right with God. And Paul said, bring him, I have need of him for the ministry. And so God is a God of second chances tonight. And if you have been saved and you're away from the Lord tonight, get that thing settled. It's almost over. The day's far spent and the night's coming. We need to get on fire for God. And if you're away from Him and not serving Him, not active in the church, get things straightened out tonight. If you're not saved, get saved. But let's have revival at Ridgeview Baptist Church. Amen. Don't take a crowd. Verse number 1, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what He will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. We're going to have to answer to God one day. I will, and all of us will. Verse 2, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. And I could preach a little bit on prophecy tonight, and I probably won't get into that. But the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Would you ask God to help me tonight? Father, Lord, I do love you tonight. I want to thank you for that glad day and happy hour when the hand of God reached further down than I could have ever reached up. I want to thank you one more time for bringing me up out of a horrible pit and the miry clay of sin. I want to thank you for rescuing my never dying soul and giving me eternal life. Lord, thank you for rescuing my home and my marriage and my children from shame and disgrace and heartbreak of what sin would have done to our family. Thank you for the call of God upon my life and let me serve you down through these years. Thank you for my path, Lord, crossing with Brother Wayne Sexton and Ridgeview Baptist Church. And Lord, how we need you tonight to move and breathe upon this congregation. I pray it illuminate my mind, revelate my heart. Try to, Lord, to preach what you dealt with me about today. So use me to your honor and glory, whatever that might be, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to look, keep your Bible open. I try to preach the Bible. And in verse number 4 is my thought tonight. I'm going to go through these four verses. Shouldn't take very long tonight. But verse number 4, Habakkuk said, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. I think that's pride and being lifted up. And your soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. And he makes a contradiction in the latter part of verse number 4. And he said, but the just shall live by his faith. I want to preach that last statement in verse number 4. The just shall live by his faith. And if you'll give me your attention, it might take me a little while to lay a little bit of foundation tonight on the just shall live by his faith. If you are not living by faith, you really don't know what life is all about. Are you listening to me? We think we do. We think Miller High Life is life, but it's low life. Amen. And Bud doesn't make you wiser. It makes you dumber, whether you believe that or not. But God said in His holy word that the just shall live by his faith. Learn, get a hold of that tonight. If I can get my foundation laid, I want to go back and apply that to what Habakkuk said. If we had time to get into the minor prophets, here's where we are in your King James Bible. The Bible said that Israel had forgotten God, and they had forsaken God, and they had hewn out them cisterns cisterns, water holders that would not hold water, and they had turned to idol gods, and they were worshiping stumps and rocks and everything, creeping things, and all of that was going on, and God tried to get them to repent. God tried to get them to turn from that and turn back to God time after time, up through Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, coming up through those books. And finally, God said, I'm going to send the Chaldean, and they're going to pass my judgment upon you, and you're going to have to pay for the sin and forsaken the God of your fathers. Would somebody help me and say amen? And so God gave some of these men vision. Some of them He spoke to, but He spoke to Isaiah, to Habakkuk, and gave him a vision of what was going to happen. And He said, Habakkuk, the just shall live by his faith. And if I can get there, that statement, the just shall live by faith, is mentioned four times in your Bible. You may disagree with me just a little bit, but if you want to wait and listen and talk to me after church, I got all night. I don't have anywhere to go and nothing to do. Amen. And so we'll talk after church, but the just shall live by faith. That is mentioned in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse number 4. If you boys are writing references down, I could use those 4 points, and God was dealing with me about that and preach another entire different direction that I'm going tonight. But He said that again when Paul wrote to the church in Rome. He wrote to the Romans, and He said in chapter 1, verse number 17, that the just shall live by faith. He said in Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 11, the just shall live by faith. And the book, Brother Donnie said something about faith and being justified, and I may get to some of that in a little bit. But He told the Romans, the just are going to live by faith. He told the Galatians pastor, the just shall live by faith. In chapter 3 and verse 11, Paul, I think the penman of the book of Hebrews in chapter 10 and verse number 38, writing to the 12 tribes that were scattered abroad, he said, and the just shall live by faith. And so living by faith is nothing new. That's what I had trouble getting settled in my heart and trying to get the message across to you tonight, because there are multitudes of people across this world tonight and around the religious realms of this world tonight. They think that living by faith is something new, but it's not new. God had Habakkuk pin that down thousands of years ago. Now, are you listening to me? The just shall live by his faith. Learn to live by faith. I would venture to say this tonight as I tried to pray and meditate. I don't think there's a hero in the Bible that did not learn to live by faith. I don't think there's a man in the Bible, a woman, boy, or a girl in all the entire Word of God that ever had victory in their life that did not learn to live by faith. You have to learn that, as we'll see in just a moment. And Habakkuk had to learn that, and he did. And God pinned that down, had him pin that down for you and I that are here tonight. And so listen to me for just a little bit. The just shall live by his faith. Look who's living there. It's the just. And that word means justified. And justified means a simple definition like this: just as if I had never sinned. Somebody would think we're bragging or boasting on ourselves or trying to be a goody two-shoes or how religious we might be. God forbid, there's not one ounce of that in my message tonight. We are justified by one way and one way only, and that is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:16, if you had time to read it, you might write it down. He said, by the works of the law, another place he said, by the deeds of the law, shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God. And so the law, the Ten Commandments are great, and there's probably people listening to me tonight, you would get saved if you didn't think you have to live by the law or live by the Ten Commandments. I got hung up on that for a while. You think, well, I just can't live by those Ten Commandments. That doesn't have a thing to do with you getting saved by the grace of God.
You can't live it. Jesus has already lived it for you. Amen. Thank God we're saved in faith in Jesus and His work alone, not of works that lest any man should boast. Are you listening to me? We are justified just as if we had never sinned, and it's all by faith. F-A-I-T-H. Here's a little country cornfield definition of what I think faith is. It's forsaking all. I trust Him. And I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't run with the boys that do. And I try to live right, do right, act right, talk right, spit right. I try to keep my clothes on. I try to live right. But that's not because, neighbor, I want to be saved. That's because I am saved and I love Jesus with all my heart. Amen. And so the just shall live by his faith. Learn to live by faith. If you'll learn that, you are liable and probably without a doubt, you will turn out to be a victorious Christian. It's not something new for this age. Listen to me about faith. Probably the most important subject in the Bible to me, and I thought about it today before I make this statement, probably faith might be the most important subject in the Bible. Now you think about that for a little bit. Probably the most important subject in the Bible is F-A-I-T-H. And folks would discuss that and they'd probably say, well, that old preacher doesn't know what he's talking about. But you listen to me for about 30 minutes and we'll be through tonight. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 11, now faith is always present tense. Yesterday would be history. Tomorrow would be hope. But faith is right now. Amen. Hebrews 11:1, Brother Donnie, now, that's present tense. Faith is, that's a present tense verb. Now faith is, it's tonight. Some of you need to get saved by grace through faith, and you need to do it tonight. I'm going to get saved tomorrow night, or the next revival, or when my favorite preacher's preaching. You may get killed on a motorcycle before you get home tonight. Are you listening to me? Well, you couldn't get saved yesterday. It's gone, and you don't have no promise of tomorrow. Boast not thyself what a day may bring forth. Thou knowest not what a day is going to bring forth. You know that as well as I do. You got to get in the water when it's troubled. Amen. And you got to come to Jesus. Jesus made this statement, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. And he didn't say drag him. He didn't say I'm going to grab a rope, put it around his neck and drag him to the altar. But he said I'm going to draw him through the wooing of the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to have the gospel net thrown out there, and I'm going to deal with his heart, and he can make up his mind whether he will or whether he won't. Notice what Habakkuk said in chapter 2 and verse number 1. I will. I wish somebody tonight would throw in the towel and run up the white flag and say, I will. Amen. I thank God 52 years ago, lost and undone without God and His Son. I was sitting on the church fourth pew, four rows back, and the Holy Ghost began to draw me, and the Lord gave me a gift of faith, Brother Chad. He said, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I know eternal life's a gift of God, but I'm here to tell you tonight, study that Bible, and you'll find out saving faith is a gift of God. God gives you saving faith. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You hear what I'm preaching tonight, and you believe it, and you respond to it, and you get that I will in your vocabulary tonight, and you'll leave here saved by the grace of God. And you'll turn hell into mourning and heaven into rejoicing if you'll come to Jesus tonight. Amen. And Brother Habakkuk said, I will. Here's where I'm headed if I can get there. Faith is present tense, but faith doesn't change. The preacher and I, now we talked last night, and I'm glad that I usually get in trouble everywhere I go because I preach everything I know and some that I don't know, I reckon. Amen. But I believe there's seven dispensations in the Bible, Brother Donnie. And he said, well, I know some good men thinks there's nine. And I looked at him. He said, and I know some, he's a good man. And I know some that thinks there's eight. And I looked at him. But he said, I think you're right, Brother Raines. I think it's, I said, glory to God. He said, I was reading after Dr. Scofield. And I said, preacher, I have never owned a Scofield Bible in my life. And I'm not picking on Dr. Scofield, and I'm not going to pick on you if you got one. But I didn't just get that out of the Scofield Bible. I got it from praying and studying and comparing the seven churches and the seven parables and the seven dispensations. And I try to teach my preacher boys that, and I hope they still believe it. Amen. And you don't have to agree with that. You can think there's eight. That's new beginning. But the eternity out yonder and after the millennial reign, that's not a dispensation. But eternity doesn't have a beginning and it doesn't have an ending. And a dispensation is a period of time that starts and stops, and eternity is not going to do that. Amen. And there's an eternity before Genesis 1:1. There's an eternity after Revelation 22:21, but in between there's a 7-day week, and I'll tell you where we're living. We're living near the end of the week, and neighbor, we're living about Friday evening of the setting of the sun on Friday, and thank God the Holy Sabbath, that seventh year reign of the millennial reign, and one day is with the Lord, it's 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. That seventh day, Saturday, it's going to be the 1,000-year millennial reign. At the end of that, that terrible battle is going to be fought, and the devil and his angels will be cast in the lake of fire and the false prophet, and we'll enter into eternity, and there'll be no more motorcycle wreck, there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more tear, there'll be no more sorrow, there'll be no more lonely graves on the hillside of God. I can't wait to get there. Are you listening to me? But until then, we're going to live by faith. When that day comes, our faith will have become sight. Now abideth present tense, now abideth faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of these is charity. My faith is going to become sight. My hope is going to become a reality. But thank God my charity, my love for Jesus, it'll just get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. It'll be like being married to a good woman. The longer you're married to her, the more you learn about her and the more you love her. Ought to be that way for us men too. Amen. Are you listening to me? The just shall live by faith. I put in my notes today, trying to prepare to feed you. We got fed tonight over at Brother Brian's, and his wife and children fixed us a good meal. Thank God for that. That's what I've been trying to do today. I wasn't out to the jockey lot. I didn't go to the, look at that 57 red Ford sitting down there on the side of the road. Have you seen that? Would you pray about the church buying that for an evangelist? Boy, I had a black 57 Ford convertible, 3 2-barrel carburetors on it, carburetors in West Virginia, 3 2-barrel carburetor, teardrop fender skirt, a spinner hubcap. You girls eat your heart out. My wife fell in love with that car, thought she was in love with me. Amen. Probably the greatest mistake she ever made. We used to ride through some plate glass stores where they had plate glass windows and see how we looked in that 57 Ford. You never did do that, did you, bud? Are you listening to me? Faith is not a new thing. Living by faith, to me, and I believe I can prove it in the Bible, has never changed. You say, oh, yes it has, preacher. Lord saves people different today than He used to. And some people believe, preacher, He's saving people in this dispensation in a different way that He's going to in the tribulation period. Not so. To hurry up. Hebrews chapter number 1 again, chapter 11, verse number 1. Now faith is, it's present tense, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You boys don't put a conjunction in there. The hope of, the evidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. By faith they obtained a good report. He said, by faith we believe that the things which are made were not made of things which did appear. But he went down there to verse number 4 and he said, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. You remember that? Hebrews 11:4. That takes you back just about as far as we can go, back to the garden where Abel offered unto God by faith and God received his sacrifice. Amen. The night I came to Jesus just as I was, without one plea, you know what I offered to Him? I offered Him nothing other than the sacrifice of Calvary and the blood that Jesus shed there for the remission of my sin. And just like God received Abel through a bloody sacrifice, God received me through the blood of the cross of His Son and judged me righteous in the eyes of a thrice holy God. And I am just as righteous as Jesus is. Best trade I ever made was everything. Thank God I received it and I gave Him nothing. My righteousness are like a filthy rag in the Son of God, but I came just like you're going to have to come, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Oh, Lamb of God, I come. What will happen to me, preacher? You'll leave here saved by the grace of God. And once you get saved by the grace of God, you want to live by faith. Now, I was going to go to Hebrews 11. Will that take way too much time to go through that list of Hebrews? And they were all of those heroes of faith in chapter number 11. I don't have time to do that. But Abel, he worshipped by faith, and God deemed him to be righteous. The second one was Enoch, and he walked by faith. Are you listening to me? And Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. He worked by faith. Abraham, the fourth one, he went out not knowing where he went, but he went out by faith. He walked or went out by faith, obeying what God told him to do. And down through that chapter, we have heroes of faith from the garden where Abel was, clear up to the cross of Calvary. Every one of them that was saved got saved by faith.
Amen.
Not the law. Get that in your heart. Get it in your mind. Do you think the law, you go down the road, 35, 45, going back into Merville. I asked him if this was Maryville, if this was a Catholic town. And Brother Mike said, no, this is not Maryville, this is Merville. So I accept that. Amen. We're living, we're close to Merville. How you pronounce where I'm at? Wallen. I call it Wallen, but it's Wallen. Wallen, alright. We're in Wallen. You go down here and go down the road, and you're running 65. I passed the Smoky out there in Alcoa, I guess, on the highway on 129, and he is over on the shoulder. And had that, wanted to take a good picture of me. I guess he was wanting for his scrapbook. And he took my picture. And the speed limit's 45. And I was running about 51. You know what I did when I saw him? If you believe in saving gas, raise your right foot. I jerked my foot up off that accelerator. It condemned me. I done made up my mind. My wife said, is he coming? Is he coming? I said, no, not yet. I was looking through my wallet. Brother Mike gave me one of his cards. I was going to dig in my wallet, get that thing out, and said, here's a friend of mine. You know him. Oh, you listen to me. The law, that sign didn't save me. It just showed me I was violating it.
Amen.
That's what the Ten Commandments does. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to the knowledge of sin. Are you listening to me? I didn't realize I was doing 51 until I glanced down. I saw that sign, saw him. I glanced down there, and I was 6 mile an hour over the speed limit. And I used to do this. Some of y'all don't know it. Maybe a visitor here. But I was a motorcycle policeman when God saved me. And here was my operative technique that I used personally. It was 9, you're fine, and 10, you're mine. And I'd let you slide at 9 unless my captain was there and had told me we had a problem somewhere and put me out there to put an end to it. But I'd let him slide at about 9. But when it rolled around to 10, he wasn't fine. He was mine. He's going to cost about $150, $200 because you'd run 10 miles over speed limit. And some of you would get saved tonight if you thought you could live by the 10 commandments. You can't. I can't. Nobody can. Nobody ever has but Jesus. And He fulfilled. And that's why He came. He came to fulfill God's broken law. God was offended by the carelessness, neighbor, of men that the judgment's going to come. And neighbor, Habakkuk said it was. The judgment is coming, Habakkuk. Tell them, write it down, give it to somebody. Let them run across the country with a message at the judgment. I'm going to send the Chaldeans, a wicked, ungodly people. I'm going to judge my chosen people by people that are even more wicked and worse than they are. And Habakkuk couldn't understand that. If you'll read the book, how are you going to judge us by a wicked bunch of Chaldeans, Lord? God said, I'm going to judge them to where they'll fall on their face and repent and turn back to God. Are you listening to me? We're all going to face the judgment unless we accept faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and learn to live by His faith. Are you listening to me, church? I don't have time to go to Hebrews. I've got to hurry. In Habakkuk, chapter number 2, I've got about 3 or 4 little alliterated outlines. If you keep an outline, it helps me to stay in line. If I got an outline, amen. Habakkuk said in verse number 1, I will. I call that the facts of faith. Isaiah, Habakkuk. Habakkuk said, I will. To me, that's positive. He accepts what God is going to show him, what God's going to tell him, what God wants him to do. He said, I will. If you're going to live by faith, if you're ever going to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have to make that decision, not just in your head, but in your mind and in your heart, that I will do what God tells me to do. That's the fact of it. You can't live by something you don't have. Are you listening to me? I did put beside of it, because when I leave here, if Jesus doesn't come before I go by way of the grave, some of my family will get that Bible, some of my great-grands or somebody, and I put, here's the Range commentary on the just shall live by faith, or you're going to die if you don't have it. You're going to have to live by faith in Jesus Christ, or you're going to die without faith, and that's eternal death without Him and eternal life with Him. It's so plain in the Bible. There's 2 births for men and 1 death. Or if you just experience 1 birth, there's going to be 2 deaths. Talks about the second death. That's eternal death without God. So listen to the subject tonight that I'm preaching about. The just shall live by faith. You're going to have to get a hold of that. And I can, let me very quickly run through my first point, give you 2 or 3 more, and I'll be through. Ephesians 2:8-9. For, and everybody knows it, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And he went on to say, we're his workmanship, created unto good work. I may get that far in just a little bit. But new life, the born again life, the Christian life, and the life of just being justified in God's sight is a life that begins by faith. Your faith in what Jesus did for you on the cross of Calvary, you get saved by the grace of God. Now that's not where you stopped, that's where you began. I'm preaching tonight, living by faith, not just made alive by faith. I've been alive by faith for 52 years. I've been alive by faith. I experienced a second birth by faith, 52 years ago, and for 52 years, Brother Bud, I've been trying, by the grace of God, to learn how to live by faith. Learn that, and you can live a victorious life. After you get saved, if you don't learn to live by faith, you're going to not have any joy. You're going to be miserable. You're always going to be questioning what God is doing. You're going to, neighbor, have your good life for just where you're going to be bound up and don't have any liberty and freedom unless you learn to live by faith. Habakkuk's my example, and I'm going to get there in just a minute. But the fact is, you experience life by faith, and then God wants us to learn to live by faith. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You got three enemies after you get saved. They're not deacons and are not your pastor. It's the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world still haunts me. The flesh still bothers me. And the devil's on my trail. He walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The only way you're ever going to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil is to learn to live by faith. And Habakkuk did that. Look in chapter number 2 tonight. Not only the facts of faith, and I could give you a bunch more. Faith is mentioned 356 times in your King James Bible. You want me to try to cover all them points tonight? I don't think I have enough breath to do that. Look what Habakkuk did. He's my example tonight. He said in verse number 1, I will. I call that the facts of faith. He just believed God, said, I'm going to do it. And then he said, I will stand. I call that faith and faithfulness. I will stand. I will believe God. I will trust God. I will do what God tells me to do. I call that faith's faithfulness. If you have got enough faith, neighbor, whatever your circumstances might be, Habakkuk is living on the threshold of the judgment of God about to fall on God's chosen people, the nation of Israel. And Habakkuk said, I will stand. I'm not going to bow my knee. I'm not going to bow to the authority or the invasion of the Chaldeans. I am going to stand for God. You can be faithful. Make up your mind in these last days in which we're living. I don't have time to run that to an extent of anywhere tonight. But the Bible said, Matthew 24:12, because iniquity's going to abound, the love of many is going to wax cold. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it said, except there come a falling away, the man of sin, he's not going to be revealed. So there's going to be a love of many waxing cold, and there's going to be a falling away from the true faith and the house of God, and they're going to forsake, neighbor, the assembling of the self together, as a manner of some is. This church ought to be full tonight, but make up your mind, I am going to live by faith, and I am going to stand. It's not popper standing preaching what I'm preaching tonight. I told the preacher tonight, my grandchildren, I was preaching in Valdosta, Georgia. My son and I preaching together, and my grandchildren gathered around the piano. We've been doing that for 50 years. My children, then my grandchildren, and I hope my great-grands will do the same thing. But after church, we gathered around the instruments, started playing and singing and just doing what we've been doing all of our lives since we got saved by the grace of God. And one of my granddaughters took out her little Apple phone or whatever it is, and she videoed it and sent it to somebody. And the last I heard, and that's been 3 or 4 months ago, I guess now, there had been 13 million people looked at that thing. Hit on them. 13 million. Now, it's way above that, I'm sure, now. And here's what they said. We don't hear songs like that anymore. We don't see young people enjoying church and enjoying singing and playing the instruments like that anymore. Where do they go to church? I told Brother Sexton a while ago, I said, this is a rare place. You can experience God around here. Amen. Brother Allen, I like the way you lead singing. Amen. I heard those old songs. I've been singing them 50 years. My older brother got saved and preaching before I did, and he's about 16 years old, and he's about 87, 88, 89, somewhere like that. We live a long time, amen, so don't think you're going to get away from me, because I'm going to keep a preacher getting me to come back over here every chance I get. They just sung them old songs. I was a little boy. That's a long time ago. There's a Free Will Baptist Church up on the hill in front of my dad's house. First time I ever got under Holy Ghost conviction was up there on the hill, and I'd hear them old saints of God singing, and those women a-shouting and a-praising God, and they'd get to popping their head, and I'd be peeping in the window, and I'm telling you, their hair would fall down, the pins would go flying, and somebody'd take a running fit around the church praising God. I didn't understand it, but I'm telling you, it's still real, and it has not changed today. And Ridgeview Baptist Church is a rare commodity. Keep the fire burning in the camp. Keep the fire in the pulpit. And keep singing those old songs of Zion. God likes it. I like it. The world may not like it, but you'll be glad you did when you get to heaven. Amen. Somebody said there ain't going to be that kind of singing in heaven. Well, somebody said there wasn't going to be no bluegrass in heaven either. But I'm telling you, I'm going to have a good time. I'm not looking for a city dweller. I'm looking for a country whose builder and maker's God. Amen. I don't have time to read the Hebrews. I'm feeling so good right now. I believe I could grin a possum down. Praise God. Hey, listen to me. Habakkuk said, I will, Lord, I will stand. I will be faithful. Everybody around me may bow. Everybody around me may compromise. Everybody in the world, every preacher may change the King James Bible and get one of these newfangled things that don't know A from B and C. But they said, I am going to stay faithful to you, God. I want to hear you say, well done. Here's what my little old preacher told me. My little old preacher about that tall. I used to be 6'2", weighed about 190 pounds. Wasn't nothing but blood, muscle, and gut. Amen. When I was on the police force, I had to be to keep from getting whipped. And I'm not young anymore. And I weigh more than 185. And I'm not 6'2". Now I tell you one thing. I got a brother named Smith, and that's his half-brother's Wesson. I intend to be standing when the rest of them throw in the towel. And I'm not boasting within myself. Let him that think he stand to take heed lest he fall. I know that, but I'm depending on Jesus. Because he'll see me through. I intend to stay with that book. I intend to keep a precept just like God said it. The Bible said they would not endure sound doctrine in the last day. Church, don't you get discouraged because some don't believe. I won't give an account of you. I'll give an account of preaching to you, but I'll give an account of myself. Every man's going to stand on his own two feet when he stands before God one day. And neighbor, I want to hear him say, well done. Here's what my little old preacher instilled in me when I was a young baby in Christ over 50 years ago. I remember it like it was last night. He pointed that finger in my face and he told me where to sit. I sit right there where you're at, Brother Chad. He said, Brother Larry, you and Miss Norma read your Bible and you know the plan of salvation. You know maybe enough to help somebody. I want you to get over here and sit right here and you work the altar. When somebody comes up here and needs some help, you take... I didn't run to the altar without my Bible. He broke me of that. He said, you take and tell them what that Bible said. And he pointed his finger in my face and he said, son, do you think God's a liar? I said, no, sir. I read where God cannot lie. And he said, well, the Bible said God's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You think he's going to lie to you? I said, no, sir. He said, well, you better be good and faithful. Amen. I said, yes, sir. Amen. Pastor, I will be good and I will be faithful. And I've tried to behave for 52 years. I hadn't stolen the church's money. We gave it all away. I hadn't run off with a piano player, Brother Ruggleman. He was my son. And I ain't got my wires crossed yet. I know a positive from a negative. And a hairy leg is negative to me. I don't have time to run that rabbit, amen. He'll run in a briar patch and I couldn't find him. I will stand. How could Habakkuk say that? Because he's living by faith. You better make up your mind or you may have some grit in your crawl and you may bow up in your back. I'm a country boy and I just bow up in my back and got me in trouble a few times. But it's not that physical, but it's that faith you got in Jesus going to cause you to stand. And I could run 100 references and give them to you. You know I do not have time to do that. Habakkuk 2, verse number 1, the fact of faith, and then the faithfulness that comes out of faith, I will stand. And look what it said, upon my watch. He knew what God wanted him to do. Picture Habakkuk. God said, Habakkuk, I want you to get up. And he talked there in verse number 1 again. I will stand upon the watch. Set me upon the tower. Now you that are not familiar with your Bible, they had watchtowers, not watchtower like Jehovah's Witnesses and all of that going on today. But they had watchtowers in those cities. And they had men that were assigned and were appointed. And they would climb up and get in that watchtower. And they would watch. And the people would cry, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? And they'd say, the night's coming, but also the day. And they'll look out and say, I see a runner coming. And we could get into all of that. But that watchman was watching for the other. And I'm telling you this, by faith, here's what Habakkuk said. One more time, Lord, I'm going to climb up these stairs and I'm going to get up in that place where you called for me to be, and I am going to stand there and I'm going to sit on my watch until you speak to me and I have a message to bring to the people. It's quiet in here tonight. Are you listening? Your pastor has been through things where when he mounted that platform, getting up on that pulpit or behind that pulpit, I'm telling you, it was only being the just living by faith is what gave him enough grace and faith to get up there and preach one more time. I've been preaching a long time. And I've been so low that I was lower than the old song used to say, a knot on a log in a hole in the bottom of the sea. That's about how low I've been. And I've gone home from church. One time I went home. I don't know if I've told you this before. But I went home from church one time. And I went back out in. We closed the carport in. Made us a bedroom and a bath out there. And I struck out that morning. Felt like nothing happened.
I went out there, Brother Donnie, and I sat down out there in that back room. I had the Sunday paper. My wife come out there. She said, "What you doing?" I said, "I'm looking for a job." She said, "Why don't you turn the light on where you can read?" I was sitting out there in the dark. But I was so upset I couldn't see anyway. And I was so mad. I said, "I'm looking for a job. They can have it." Anybody in here know Harold Hanley? Did you ever remember an old preacher named Harold Hanley? An elevator fell to Greenville Hospital, Memorial Hospital, fell several floors. Brother Hanley and some men were on people on there, and it crushed that old preacher's hips and legs, and he had braces on both legs. And he tried to pastor and preach after that for several years. I'll be through in a little bit. And he said, I heard him say this at a preacher's fellowship. He was on one Sunday evening, he's sitting around the table, and he and his wife were there eating, and he said, "I'm not going back tonight." Said, "I'm through. I'm not going back to preach to him anymore. This is it. I've quit." He said he looked across the table and tears was running down his wife's cheeks. And she said, "Harold, how can you quit? When God saved us and rescued our marriage, saved our children, and let us serve Him all these years and taking care of every need we have ever had. Harold, how are you going to quit?" No, Harold said he brushed himself off, shook himself real good, and so I think I'll go back and try it again.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be any quit in us. Are you listening to me? I felt like quitting 1,000 times, and that's probably conservative. Why haven't you quit, preacher? Because the just shall live by faith. It's not easy. I'm not going to paint you a rosy picture with 2 cars in the garage and 2 chickens in the pot and a pocket full of money and everybody love you. I thought that's what would happen when I got saved. I thought everybody loved me when I started preaching. And I put that King James Bible under my arm, went to Taylor, South Carolina. I figured they'd vote me the most likely to succeed. 6 weeks they tried to vote me out of the church. They didn't get it done. We outnumbered them. You wouldn't have done what I did, but we voted them out. Everybody voted the wrong way. We voted them out because I had the majority. I was acting like a Democrat. We voted them out. Voted all the deacons out, and everybody wanted to go with them. Got over it, and God built a church there. Now, you listen to me? I'm a hurrying. The just shall live by faith. You start by faith. You overcome the world by faith. You stand by faith. And you set upon your watch, not your pocket watch. You set upon your watch what He's called you to do, given you to do. You do that by faith. Members of Ridgeview Baptist Church, you got a watch. You got a place where maybe the pastor or the church has allowed you to get in a position of service. If not, God's called you for a purpose. He had a purpose when He saved you. Make up your mind. I am going to be faithful. Here's what He said, and I gave it to you yesterday, I think. Revelation 2:10, "Be thou faithful." How long? Unto death. That's what He told the church at Ephesus. I said yesterday, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Make up your mind. I can live by faith. I can stand on my watch. I can sit and do what God told me to do. That S-E-T is not S-I-T, but I'm going to set myself. I'm going to be ready. I'm going to stay ready. I'm going to complete what God told me to do. Get down to 2 Timothy 4:7. Make a long story short, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me that crown of righteousness. Win that crown. I think there's 5 crowns you can win. I believe Habakkuk's going to get some of them when he gets there. I'm in Habakkuk chapter 2. "I will stand upon my watch. I will set me upon the tower." You dads, you say, "I'm not a preacher. I'm not a musician. A lot of things I can't do." Well, God's given you a family to be an example to. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You know what Ridgeview needs? What every Baptist church I get to preach in needs? Some men that'll get in that position in their home and be the head of the home. You ladies, let him be the head of the home, would you? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Husbands and wives, go down through Ephesians. We don't have time to go there. But you men, get the leadership in your home. You ladies, submit yourself. And you children, submit yourself to the authority of your mom and dad. And watch God raise up some families and give you a strong Christian home that'll learn to live by faith. Living by faith is something I think is probably forgotten in these days in which we're living. Because hard times come, we don't know what to do. And I don't know if you'd believe it or not, we have been so broke financially in the times in 50 years. I was so poor I couldn't pay attention. We've never lacked anything. You ever been sick, preacher? I have been sick. I missed at least 2 or 3 services in 50 years because I was sick. I've been in the hospital several months, several times. But I'm telling you this, every time and everything we've ever needed, God's always been there to help me. That's living by faith. That's trusting Him in the dark. When you can't see Him, you don't understand what He's doing, you don't realize how He's working in your life, but by faith, you accept it. Somebody said, every time you hear Brother Raines preach, which is not true, you'll hear him say, God's too wise to make a mistake, and He loves you too much to do you wrong. Do you understand why preachers' sons, John Paul's a friend of mine, I preach for Brother Gupton often, they're friends of mine, I don't understand that, I'm not trying to explain it, but I am not questioning God. I can't explain why things happen, but I know God loves me. I don't understand why things have happened in my life and in my ministry and in my family, but God is still God. Are you listening to me? That's living by faith, part of it. You believe it. Your judgment's going to fall in Habakkuk's day. And Habakkuk said, I will stand upon the watch. I will set me upon the tower, listen, and will watch to see what He will say unto me. That's faith. Don't miss church and get careless in your church attendance. The very service you miss is when God will give that pastor the message that he had for you and what you needed to hear, probably to solve or resolve the situation that you're in. So make up your mind. Here, let me throw this in, and I'm hurrying. We'll give an account of every service when we're careless and negligent and unfaithful without a good reason. We'll give account to God whether we should have been there or not. We'll have to answer to God for what we could have got and what we should have got or would have got if we'd have been faithful to the house of the Lord. And our sister prepared a good meal, said the girls prepared most of it. I appreciate that. Preacher work provided, and I think some of the girls are working, but I'm telling you, I appreciate it. God's going to serve us and take care of us, and we ought to be thankful for what He gives us. You don't have to understand it, just accept it. Look lastly, verse number 2 and 3. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. Now I would take that as giving the message to men and let them run and tell what God's going to do. Now others may get a different interpretation of that. I don't have any commentaries with me. And that's the way I interpreted that after praying today. Verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. If you're going to learn to live by faith, you're going to have to learn to wait on the Lord. He's always a God. You can study Job 37 and other places in the Bible. God is a God of perfect timing. He's never early and He's never late. Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the curse of the law. Jesus was born on time. He went to Calvary and died the day He was going to die. After 3 days and three nights, I'm going to get up. He got up on time, ascended back to the Father, sent the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. God always works in perfect timing. We get in a hurry. And we don't want to wait. But Isaiah said it like this. They that wait upon the Lord, that can be interpreted serving. I think the primary application is having some patience in prayer. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. That takes a living by faith to wait and watch God work His perfect plan in your life. I come within a heartbeat of missing the will of God for my life. Church tried to call me in South Georgia, somewhere over the off the Panhandle, over towards the south end, west end of Georgia. And I was itching to preach. I had the preacher's itch. I was a young preacher. I just about went anywhere to preach. And I prayed about it, and I was trying to help God out, and we was trying to do everything to obey the Lord, but I'm telling you, I was wanting to do something, preacher. While we were in that process of that church, about to call me, Thomasville, Georgia, wherever that is, they were about to try to call me, and I never had pastored before. Pleasant View Baptist Church called me on a Thursday night and said, "Brother Raines, it's been recommended for us to call you, and we want you to come this Sunday and preach for us." I didn't know where Taylor, South Carolina was. Didn't know a member in that church. Knew an old preacher that was in that area. And he had told him about me and my wife. We kept him in our home. I'm through. And I went up there. Stayed there 36 years of my life. In the perfect will of God. Waited on the Lord. Living by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now I'm in the perfect will of God tonight. Had a good church, good salary, new car anytime I wanted to trade. They helped me build me a house, took care of us, paid our insurance, done everything in the world that a church ought to do for a pastor when they're able. And God said, "It's time for you to move on. You've been on your watch. You've been sitting on your watch. You've been up in the tower. And I've sent you a message. And I know I'm quitting. I didn't get down there." Here's what Habakkuk said. When He rebukes me, I'm still going to live by faith. If it's favor or failure, where I've been His favor, I've been a failure, I'm still going to do. If He rebukes me, I'm going to accept it. God rebukes me. Does He ever rebuke you? If you be without rebuke, Hebrews 12 said, you're not God's child. He rebukes me. What do you do, preacher, when He rebukes me? I bow my heart and my head before Him and I say, "Father, I'm sorry. Help me to honor You and live a Christ-centered, God-honoring life." But the days come and nobody wants to be rebuked from the pulpit and the Word of God. But you ought to thank God you got a preacher that still preaches the Word of God. We're God's. This is as much of Habakkuk's vision when it's preached today as it has as much authority. Just as if God spoke and gave Habakkuk a vision, God sends us in this dispensation, He sends us messages through the pastor. You can find that in Ephesians chapter number 4. I'll give you pastors for the edifying of the church and work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body. That's what your pastor's here for. Rebuke you. That's to find fault with. Reprove you, rebuke you, and then exhort you. Clean your life up, go on, get faithful, serve God, and have a victorious life of faith. Preacher, I believe that's what the Lord dealt with me about preaching today. The just shall live by faith. Are you living by faith tonight?
You may have started by faith and have you learned to live 7 days a week by faith. I hope you have, preacher. Thank you.
God spoke to you this evening. Surely God spoke to your heart this evening. Are you standing like you ought to stand? Are you what you ought to be? The Holy Spirit spoke to you. Let me give you an opportunity tonight to do business with Him while Sister Grace plays. Would you be honest with the Holy Spirit? If He spoke to your heart, would you just be honest enough to do business with Him this evening?